Because of his love, we are who we are. Would you stand with me as we get ready to hear from God through his word? I want you to get your Bibles, please, and we're going to look at the book of St. John, chapter 10. We are still there. We covered up to verse 6 on last time. Today we proceed from verses 7 on through 10. As we celebrate this month under the theme, Abundant Love. I am glad that God loved me despite of my sins. I'm glad that he not only loved me in word, but he loved me indeed. He actually laid down his life just for me. I want to give him praise on today. Amen. Before I get started into the word, I just want to recognize a special couple that are celebrating their anniversary. The Pens, I salute you both. May the Lord bless you. Amen. John chapter 10, I'll be reading from the King James Version of the Bible. John chapter 10, I want you to follow with me. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. May God bless your hearts, the reading, the hearing, but most of all, the application of his word to our hearts and our lives. I want to lift up the sub-theme today. Now, that's love. Come on, tell your neighbor now. That's love. I want you to pray with me and pray for me as God takes us through this. Next week, we'll be right on the heels of Valentine. And folks are celebrating love. But you don't know love until you know God. Because God is love. Amen, somebody. And so I want you to join me now as we pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for this wonderful day, this first Sunday in February. We give you honor, we give you glory and praise for bringing us thus far. Now bless us and speak to us. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. We acknowledge you, we celebrate you as our God and our Redeemer. Let the church say, come on, say amen one more time. Now before you sit, give the Lord your highest praise in this house. Come on, give him praise. Glory. Hallelujah. You may be seated, and as you take your seat, tell your neighbor, now that's love. As you are fully aware, there are a lot of things parading in the name of love. But we want to talk about abundant love as we look at what Jesus says in this 10th chapter, verses 7 through 10. As you notice the verses, Jesus claims to be the door of the sheep. He is most likely referring to the door of a community sheepfold or a community pasture, which housed all the flocks of an area. There is, however, if you look closer, another descriptive picture of Jesus as the door. When the sheep were kept out in the hill country overnight, they were kept in ravines, surrounded by several rocky walls. Naturally, the opening into these ravines had no door at all. Say, no door at all. The shepherd himself literally became the door. For during the night, he would simply lie across the opening. And so the sheep could not get out without passing over him, and the enemies could not get in without coming through him. I want you to get this. Jesus is saying, I am the door, so that you can't get out and the thief cannot come in unless you come through him. Oh, somebody needs to shout right there if you got that. What that looks like is this. When the enemy tries to get me, when everything tries to come against me, in order for them to get to me, they got to come through him, and by the time they get to me, they would have been targeted just for me. In other words, God will fine-tune whatever he allows to come to you. And so Jesus says, I am the door of the sheepfold, but I'm also the door into which you must come if you want to get in. So access in and out was through the shepherd. Somebody said, now that's love. Because he actually lays across the opening so that you cannot get out and no one can get in unless they pass through him. He actually became and is the door. Now, I want to lift up in your hearing today the fact that Jesus demonstrates his love in three main ways in this passage. He's showing us that he is indeed the door. Now, if you notice this passage, there are three times, two very clearly, and one inferred, that Jesus says, if you want to get there, I am the only way to get there. So while there are three places, there is one common denominator, which is Jesus Christ. He is the way. He is the only way. Now you would recall that he said to the Jews, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Don't get confused about it. There might be many folds, but there is one shepherd. And again, notice the common denominator. Other sheep I have. Not anybody else has, but I have. And I will bring them in. And so he was saying to the Jews, don't think that you have a monopoly on grace, because God has opened up the door so that all men may come in. Aren't you glad about it? So look at expression number one. Write the word down, sheep, verses 7 through 8. Jesus says, I am the only door of the sheep. Note the words, verily, verily. Again, these stress that Jesus was about to say something very critically important. And so he says, listen, what I'm about to tell you is true, is really true, and you need to get it. So Jesus meant that he is the way or the entrance into the sheepfold. Jesus Christ is the way into God's presence. The only way you can get into the presence of God is through Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to say some stuff that song very dogmatic. But don't turn me off yet. Because a whole lot of folks are saying there are many ways to heaven. But Jesus makes it very clear that I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and I'm not about to give you alternative facts. So God in Christ died on the cross to secure the way into the sheepfold. And Jesus said, I am the way into heaven. I am the way into God's acceptance. If you will ever be accepted by God, you got to come through Jesus Christ. I want to be very clear and plain about this. There is only one way to God, and that is through Jesus Christ. Well, you need to hear it today. One way into the kingdom of God, and that is through Jesus Christ. One way into salvation, and that is through Jesus Christ. One way into the true church, and that is Jesus Christ. One way into eternal life, and that is through Jesus Christ. If you believe it, say amen. This is not popular, I know. Some folks are going to get quiet. Some folks are going to shut you down. But I'm going to declare the word of God. Therefore, if that is true, Jesus says, if a man wishes to enter where God is, he must enter the door of Christ. A man enters God's sheepfold only through the door of Christ, for Christ is the only door into God's presence. Again, Jesus says in John 14, 6, I am a way. Okay, I just want to make sure you're listening. I am a way. I am a truth. Now, you don't have to be very bright. When I was going to school, they tell me when every time you see the word the, T-H-E, it is a definite article. It refers to a very specific and definite thing. And Jesus is saying there are no alternative ways. I am the way. There's no alternative truth. I am the truth. There's no alternative life. I am the life. For through him, Ephesians says, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, 1 Timothy 2:5. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is a mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. And for this cause, the word says, he is the mediator of the new covenant. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God. And John writes, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. But if any man sins, he has an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. I want you to note, Jesus uses clear claims of deity. He says, I am. Somebody say, I am. This gives additional stress to his claim to be the only door to God. I want you to notice two things. He says, all others who claim to be the door are thieves and robbers. There are some who claim to be the door and to have the way to God. They claim to know the right way and to have the newest ideas and the latest truth and knowledge of God. But Jesus says, anyone, whoever claims to be the way other than I am the way, they are thieves and they are robbers. I know that's strong. I know that's strong. So a lot of folks claim to have the right teaching, to have the right religion, to have the right works, to have the right maturity, philosophy and psychology and ideas and novel concepts. They claim to be the door that opens up to God's presence. But Jesus says that they are thieves and robbers. Somebody say thieves and robbers. And what they are about to do, and the sheep of God must beware, that they are about to steal the sheep, both our wool, which is our possession, and our lives, which is our loyalty. Now, Jesus made it very plain through the scriptures that in this day and age, many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing doctrines and all kinds of stuff. Now, I want to warn you, I want to challenge you to be on alert, because a whole lot of folk that once professed Jesus Christ are now turning their back. And I want you to hear what Paul says, and I say the same. If I preach any other gospel, let me be damned, let me be not heard, because there's no other gospel, but Jesus Christ is the way. So some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, Philippians 1:15. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given over to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them. And they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed. Neither shall they be lacking, said the Lord God. Jeremiah 23:4. God is saying, I will set up on the shepherds, who will guide people to the great shepherd. Notice the second thing, the proof that Jesus is the only door and that all others are false and are liars and thieves is the sheep himself. When you look at the sheep himself, not just the shepherd, because the Bible says the sheep, the true sheep of God, do not hear the voice of false teachers, of false doors, not if they are real sheep of God. I want to pause here to ask you to be very careful, because if you claim to be indeed a child of God and follow after false teachers, you are indeed indicating who you really are. Because Jesus says, my true sheep, those that actually know me, those that are actually mine, they do not follow the voice of strangers. I want to take my time. They will not follow, but more than that, they will flee from strangers. So I have a question. Why is it that church folk are always flocking after everything? Because that's it. They are church folk, but they're not necessarily sheep. I know it's mighty quiet here. Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I'm known of mine. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That is love. God has secured us. And the natural man cannot perceive the things of God because they're foolishness unto him, because they are spiritually discerned. But notice expression number two. Expression number two, write the word salvation. Look at verse 9. Jesus says, in very clear, dogmatic, emphatic language, I am the door. So the second expression is that Jesus Christ is the only door that opens to salvation. Jesus is the only door that leads to life eternal in Christ. Listen to what the Bible says in Acts 4:12. And I want you to keep your Bibles open, because I'm not saying what I want to say. I'm saying what God says. And I'm keeping it as simple as I can so you can understand it and check it for yourself. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, I know you know these verses, but you need to get more than the words. You need to get the truth of what God is saying. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Romans 5:9. For this is a good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, somebody say one God, and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And watch the rest of it. Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So this is what I call the inclusive exclusive. That God has opened up the door and those who come in are his. I want to ask you, have you trusted him? So Jesus is the only door that opens to salvation, the only door that opens to peace and security. Because once you trust him, he not only saves you, but he secures you. Let me quote the verse again, John 10. He says, and I have given unto you eternal life, and no man is able to pluck you out of my hand. I want to show you how secured we are in Jesus. That no matter what comes against us, no matter what befalls us, even if we fall many times, Jesus is saying, you will never be lost because you are secured in my hand. Let me ask you a question. Some of you I know are strong. You work out, you eat your whatever stuff, and you're pretty strong. And if you have something in your hand, it's pretty difficult to get it out of your hand. Now, a human being at some point gives out, no matter how strong you are. Every human being has a limit. But I want you to understand that God is unlimited. There is no way, no how, that anybody, including yourself, can pluck yourself out of God's hand. If you understand that, give him praise and glory in the house. Let me show you. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I want you to hear this one in Philippians 1 and 6. We have quoted it several times. Being confident of this very thing, that he who had begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Simply put, if God has saved you, he has started the word. And God who started the work will finish the work. We are kept by the power of God. Listen to this also. I know him whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Listen to this. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his throne with exceeding great joy, to whom be glory, dominion, and power. Fear thou not, he says. Isaiah 41, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will hold you up. Yea, I will keep you in my right hand of righteousness. That is the security we have in Jesus Christ. But notice the third thing about this salvation. Jesus is suggesting and submitting to us that he is also the only door that opens to healthy and lasting nourishment. He is the only door that leads to true life and pasture and nourishment and all that your soul can ever need. So first of all, his pasture alone can satisfy the soul. I won't read it for you, but Isaiah 58 talks about the God of heaven satisfying the thirsty soul. His pasture alone can restore the soul. Not only will he give you drink, not only will he satisfy your thirst, but he will restore you. If you ever come to a place where you are discouraged and feel like giving up and you don't know how to turn and where to turn, the pasture that God has provided for you will restore your soul. He will lead you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. But the pasture alone gives life and gives it forever. His pasture alone can feed with knowledge and understanding. His pasture is all that we need. And I want to bring now the final expression of God's love, all of which are made possible through the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ on the cross. I want you to hear this. All of these things are provided through one person, Jesus Christ. So it's three, yet one. And so Jesus is saying, listen, whatever you need, I got it. All that you can ever long for, I am all that and so much more. I want you to write the word down. Expression number three, supreme. Somebody say supreme. So we have the sheep. We have salvation. And now we have supreme. Look at verse 10. Verse 10 is a very strong contrast between the thief, the robbers, and Christ. The person who says there is another door is a thief and a robber. The person steals and kills and destroys the sheep. The thief misleads and deceives the sheep, leading them through a door that leads to destruction. There are some who definitely want the wool and the life of the sheep. They want the sheep to follow them and their position, so they will do everything they can to deceive the sheep and to secure the sheep's loyalty, the sheep's energy, allegiance, the sheep's recognition, possession, praise, time, effort, honor. And so by leading the sheep away from the restrictiveness of Christ, from the security of Christ, the false teachers seek to become destroyers. But I'm glad. Here's what the scripture says, and this is the comfort you can derive as I get ready to bring the third thing to you, is this. No matter how much iniquity abound, no matter how much crazy stuff goes on in the world, the Bible says they would have deceived the very elect of God if it were possible. If it were possible. And so now I bring to you the final thing, and that is that Jesus Christ is the only door to abundant life. Watch this. He says, the thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I am come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. I want to share with you a true story. It is about myself. The subtle ways in which the thief comes to steal. And it's not necessarily tangible things. Sometimes it is the intangible. Watch this. The intangible. I went to a certain office this week. I'm sitting there. I had an appointment, by the way, made in advance long before. So I was called, I signed in, and I was told to have a seat. So I sat as your obedient shepherd. Well, 30 minutes passed and nobody says anything to me. 45 minutes passed and nobody says anything. 1 hour passed. So now I'm getting a little irate. Y'all know what I mean? I'm getting waxed. I want to know how in the world they can have me sitting here. Don't nobody say nothing to me. And so what is the problem? You can see that there is a problem. What is the problem? They are waiting for a fax from a sister office. It says an inter-office transaction. Now, how long does a fax take to get through the system? Okay, but this one takes a lot of time. And I'm about to say some stuff up in there. I said, now those of you who know me, my children will tell you, and my wife, that when I get mad, my English is perfected. I get into the King's English. Well, I don't talk broken English. When I'm really mad, you can tell when I'm really mad, my language is perfected. Now, dear, is there something wrong here? Why is it that nobody has come to me and explain what is going on? At least I would know why I'm waiting. I can't tell you all that happened in the office, but finally, somebody came back and said, all right, this is what we're waiting for. Have a seat. We'll take care of it. At that point in time, when I was boiling, I didn't say anything I shouldn't say, but I realized what was going down, and I started to laugh. I said, no way, Jose. Devil, get your face out of my face. There's no way you're going to steal my joy today. So I looked at him. I didn't study them no more because I saw who was behind all the stuff that was going down. I didn't blame them. I blamed the devil because he is a thief. And he was trying to steal my joy. But I said to him, no way, Jose, it ain't going to work. I know exactly what you're up to. And I started smiling and laughing. And by the time I was through, everybody was happy. I'm going to tell you this. The thief continues to come. But watch Jesus Christ. As I break down the verse for you, the last part of it says, but I came that you may have, that you may keep, that's a key word, constantly retain a vitality, a gusto, a vigor, a zest for living that springs up from deep on the inside. I came that you might embrace this unrivaled, this unequal, this matchless, incomparable, richly loaded and overflowing life to the ultimate maximum. There's somebody who wants to keep you at mediocre. He's a thief. But Jesus says, I will give you abundant life. As I listen to the world news and follow what is happening, there are a lot of people who are disturbed. There are a lot of people who are scared. There are a lot of people who are paralyzed. Jesus is saying to us, I love you so much that I have secured you so well that no matter how bad the world's economy may become, I will make sure I keep you in perfect peace. I will make sure that you lack nothing. I will make sure that you have joy unspeakable and full of glory. I will make sure that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And so I want to submit to us to embrace this abundant life. You can do everything that God says you can do. You can have everything that God says you can have. You are, in fact, everything that God says you are. I want to close with this story that I think brings this whole love of God to light. Stand with me. After all, this life that Jesus has offered us, that is now free to us, was secured at the highest price. I want to tell you a story that is a true story. The story of Father Colby. Back in July of 1941, you understand the Holocaust of the Jews, where they were held in Nazi camps. And anybody who ever escaped were usually caught. And if they were caught, they were hung. They hang them. Those who ever escaped were usually caught. This one night in July, one prisoner got away. He got away. So when everybody was lined up in the count and the names were being called, this one man showed up missing. And everybody is fearful that soon we will see him now and he will be killed. Well, the truth is, they never found him. And so the Nazi says, for this one that got away, we will kill 10 prisoners. I want you to watch this. And so 10 men are identified. 10 men are lined up to be killed. And they didn't kill them quickly. It was a slow, torturous process of how they hang them. One of the men, I want you to hear me, who was identified to be killed, He started screaming, "Oh, my wife and my children, what are they going to do? My wife and my children." He was not even concerned for himself. Father Colby, who was the priest, was up in age. Father Colby said, Listen, Captain, I come out here. I want to take that man's place. Yes, that man who's crying out for his wife and his children. I want to. And they try to figure out, why would you want to do this? Why would you want to do this? Why would you want to do this? Colby said, "That's all right. I want to take his place." So the night before they were brought down to be tortured and killed, everybody listened and it was quiet, and they heard a strange singing coming from the prison. What happened was, Father Colby, who had taught them how to live and to maneuver through life, is now teaching them how to die. And there he is, he's singing with joy in his heart, and all the prisoners are singing. And they come now to face death with joy, radiant with joy. Colby said, "Listen, what I'm doing here today cannot even be compared with what the Good Shepherd did on the cross." As we bring this service to a close, God gave his only begotten Son just for you. You and I should have been on the cross. We should have been condemned to die. But when the wrath of God was about to pour down on us, Jesus stepped in and took your place and took my place. Yeah. Don't take it lightly. That's love. When I think about when he did it, it breaks my heart. He didn't do it at a time when we loved him, when we cared for him. He did it at a time when we cursed him, when we mocked him, when we hated him. And so I'm going to ask us to bow our heads. For those of you who are saved, Jesus is your door of the sheep. He's your door into the salvation you now enjoy. But he's also your door into the abundant life. But for those of you that have never trusted him, don't spit in his face. Don't be ungrateful. Show him how much you appreciate what he has done by giving your life to Christ. I'm going to ask every head to be bowed and every eye to be closed in these moments. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes in these moments. It's a very critical time. Listen. Jesus died in your place. I want you to be quiet in your spirit. And listen. God gave his life for you. I'm going to ask you, if you have never trusted him as your Lord and Savior, while the church prays and the ministers are in place to share with you, I'm going to ask you not even to lift your hands, but to just leave where you're standing. And by the way, if you feel a little intimidated and you want someone to walk with you, if you're close enough to somebody, I'm going to ask you to squeeze their hand. And by the way, when they squeeze your hand, that's a sign they want you to come with them to the altar. Would you do that right now and walk these aisles and give you? Don't put it off. The thief is smart. He's going to tell you, "Wait till tomorrow. Let them sing three songs. Let them." No. Jesus has spoken to you. That's all you need. I'm going to ask you to come right now and surrender to Him. And then for those of us who are saved, I need for us to make a total commitment to Jesus Christ. He has done everything for us that we would ever need to live abundantly. I know trials will come. All kind of stuff going to come. Jesus says, but be not afraid. In the world you'll have trouble. But in me you'll have peace. If you want to experience the peace of God through your trials and through your turmoil, then you must reach out to Jesus and trust Him. Father, I want to thank You for Your love, for demonstrating on the cross how much You love us. You give Your life for us. Speak to that man, that woman, that boy, that girl. Trouble them, disturb them until they surrender. In Jesus' name, amen. The altar is open.